This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Saturday Magazine starts now.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Good morning. I'm Tass. It's Saturday the 21st of July 2018 and we have another show for you. Live across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au and of course on podcast. This is Saturday Magazine, Joy's longest running flagship news, current affairs and lifestyle program, presenting an ever-changing mix of views and voices, all framed within a queer perspective. And my coast this morning, my co-host
I'm not going to coast along.
Is
I'm
Bronwyn
serious.
Pye. Good morning, Bronwyn. How
Good
are you?
Good morning, Tass. Wonderful to be here.
And of course, for those who don't know, Bronwyn is a regular guest of ours, a regular guest on, and co-host actually on Saturday Magazine, a great supporter of Joy and our community, and of course, a great friend.
Thank you. And I reckon it's nearly 20 years I've been involved with Joy. So I just love coming in and love our audience. And please contact us. We'd love to hear from you.
When did that happen? 20 years, Bron?
Oh, I don't know. I can tell when I go to the hairdresser and they've got to put more and more on to cover the less and less.
Well, at least you haven't actually succumbed to the knife.
No, that's true. Yet.
I'm thinking about it myself. Yes, we do love your feedback.
Yeah. And what a week.
Oh, what an amazing week, Bron.
Well, I think Trump tramping is the fascinating story. Oh, yeah. Just kind of watching it from afar and seeing this guy kind of just trampling through all the different parts of Europe and causing mayhem and chaos. And
am I allowed to express a very strong personal opinion?
Well, I think you're about to.
I find him really embarrassing.
Oh, I know. But
embarrassment for humanity, really.
Yeah, I know. And yet,
what
you
a
know,
horrible, horrible, horrible egg he
but
is.
But you know, but Waleed Ali had an amazing article in The Age
yeah, I read
yesterday.
That.
And
it's quite moved
you know,
by his article.
Yeah, look, his analysis just is, you know, the more he misbehaves, the more his supporters who hate all those people that he's misbehaving against go, yeah, he's our guy. Scary.
So this week's show, Bron, this week the Uniting Church of Australia opened its doors to be the first church in our land to embrace marriage equality.
That's right.
Or has it?
Well, you know, I think it's made some enormous strides. And, you know, I'd have to declare here that I'm a member of the Uniting Church before I...
And you're a member of the Assembly.
Yes,
you were actually there.
And I was actually at the meeting. I was there in my capacity as the chair of the peak welfare body for the Uniting Church. Uniting Church is the largest welfare provider in the country and I'm quite involved in
what, larger
governance.
Than Catholic?
Larger than everybody. Larger than everybody. 50,000 staff, 30,000 volunteers.
Wow.
Just a huge enterprise right around the country, quite devolved, so that's why people don't necessarily appreciate how big it is. So the national meeting is an opportunity for all the parts of the church, the congregations plus the welfare part, plus chaplaincy and schools and all of those things to come together and make
decisions,
important
Bronwyn,
decisions.
And decisions, made by consensus, not by majority votes.
Yes, the Uniting Church has always had a very strong commitment to consensus and so they don't use a voting system, they use a colour card system. If you put up an orange card, you're warm to an idea. If you put up a blue card, you're cold. If you put up a yellow card, it means you want to ask a question. So if there are any blue cards that appear, then there's a process of kind of working through, giving those people a voice, and then finally either modifying the recommendation or, in fact, asking the people with the blue cards if they're prepared for the sake of consensus to step aside. And 9 times out of 10 they do. And they achieve consensus. And very rarely does the Uniting Church go to any formal vote. There are provisions to do that, but it's pretty rare.
So what that means is that when somebody puts up a motion, the motion may get amended till the entire assembly. How many people in the assembly?
Oh, I don't know, about 400 or 500, yeah.
Till all those 400 or 500 people agree to that.
Yeah.
So that means that all 400 or 500 people who attended the assembly last weekend in Box Hill agreed to opening the door to allow ministers of the Uniting Church to choose whether they will conduct a same-sex marriage or not.
Well, I think we need to get our next guest to give us more detail on that.
Do.
I think
and who have we got, Bronwyn?
In this case, it actually went to a formal vote. But in a moment, we're going to be talking to Sharon Hollis, Reverend Sharon Hollis, who is currently the moderator, in other words, you know, the Archbishop, if you like, of the Uniting Church in Victoria. Great it's a woman, because Uniting Church was, of course, the first church to ordain women and also to ordain people from the gay and lesbian community. So it's, you know, pretty progressive. And Sharon also at the assembly was elected to be the next president of the assembly. So in 3 years'
time...
So we've got
the big grand poobah.
We've got someone pretty special and think that's fantastic. So, yeah, it's been a big week.
And if you've just tuned in, you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Tass and my special co-host this morning, Bronwyn Pike. In the studio we have Reverend Sharon Hollis, who's the
Moderator
yeah. for Victoria and Tasmania.
It's a word people might not be familiar with, Tass, isn't it? I said the Archbishop, but
it's a bit like that. Yeah. So you're the sort of spiritual and pastoral leader of the church across Victoria and Tasmania. I am. So it's a diverse role. It's really interesting.
Thank you for coming into the studio this morning. So it's been a big week for our community, because during the week the church, the national decision-making body for the church, the assembly, as I understand, agreed to allow same-sex marriages to take place within the church.
Yes, yes. So we met, and Bronwyn gave a very excellent explanation of how we meet. We met, and the agreement was that those ministers and congregations that are willing to allow LGBTIQ people to be married in the Uniting Church can now do that legally.
That's a fantastic step forward.
We're pretty excited about it, yeah. I mean, not everybody is, but I think for those people that have campaigned for it for a long time, we've been talking about these issues for about 30 years in the Uniting Church. It's a really big moment for them, and I know for LGBTIQ people in the church and for ministers who want to marry them, it really feels like a big and joyous moment.
So the barb in the wire is that some ministers can elect not to.
That's correct.
And how can that be? How can the church allow that? That's not really sort of a broadly equal thing, is it?
I think numbers of LGBTIQ people within the church would agree with you that that's a disappointing part of it. But as the Uniting Church, we've always been committed to allowing people to hold their own beliefs and to having a diversity of beliefs. It's sort of part of what makes the Uniting Church unique, that we create space for diverse views within one community. And so by the end of the assembly, I think we came to the point where we recognised that if we were asking those who are opposed to the inclusion of LGBTIQ people to recognise the rights of ministers and LGBTIQ members to have this opportunity to marry, we also had to recognise the rights of those that don't wish to do that. So it is a sort of, I think for people at either end of the debate, it's probably disappointing. But I think for many people, it's a way in which we can continue to live together. I mean, it really reflects the reality we've had in the church for 30 years where we've had this diversity and we've found ways to get along. And it's really removed, sort of in a sense, the last hurdle around inclusion, which was the right to marry. Because we've always said LGBTIQ people who want to join the Uniting Church are fully welcome, fully recognised, able to exercise any ministry, provided the body that say ordains them is content to do that. So it's a position we've had for
so
a long time.
You know, I mean, sometimes it's a bit like politics, isn't it? You've just kind of got to get something over the line.
One step forward.
Yeah, one step forward.
Two steps forward, one step backwards. That's how it is.
There is a bit of a sense of a journey, you know, and, you know, I was actually, you know, thinking, you know, some of the things that we talked about would have been even unheard of in conversation in a church environment 30 or 40 years ago.
Indeed.
I gave the example of my 87-year-old parents who came from a very conservative environment, were, you know, really what we'd call incredibly homophobic, and, you know, now have went to the wedding of their gay grandson, who, by the way, was marrying the son of a Uniting Church minister. And everybody was all there and everybody was celebrating and everybody was fully accepting. So it's a huge journey.
That's a massive shift, isn't it? And from a personal perspective, I mean, I wouldn't choose to be married by somebody who actually didn't support my marriage. So, you know, that makes sense. It's, for me, it's actually something that I would exclude.
Mm.
But, of course, critics would argue that the current provision that exists in this new provision does enable some ministers to continue to discriminate. And that's the thing that we actually want to deal with, is to reduce discrimination in our community. What's your view about that, Sharon?
I think you're correct, it does. And it respects, I think, their very firm and very strongly held belief that the marriage of LGBTIQ people is wrong. So there's no getting away from it that's the position we're in. But as I said, we've always tried in the Uniting Church to hold diverse opinions and to recognise that within congregations, for example, there'll be people who hold both of these positions. And for me, I think the genius of this solution is it enables those communities to live together and to keep having the conversation. Mm. I think if we'd said no, we won't allow
an opt-out
clause or a way to hold the traditional view, we would have seen more congregations and more people perhaps leaving the Uniting Church for somewhere that made no space for LGBTIQ people. I think this way it allows the conversation, so Bronwyn's mother can encounter a gay Christian and have the conversation about faith.
And maybe change.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I think it's a creative solution in a community that is already divided and where those views already exist. And I think it's actually safer to name the division and to put it out there and say, this is the community we are. I think when you pretend that there aren't people who hold that position, it's really dangerous because they go underground.
In my view, this is absolutely fabulous. It's the right step. What's been the reaction from some of the other franchises, let's say?
let's just say we haven't heard from them.
Is that right?
I've not had any. I mean, I'm sure at national level, not that we've been told. I haven't heard. I noticed, for example, friends of mine that are Anglican, members of the Anglican Church have rejoiced in it as a kind of sign of a way forward in a church that's reluctant to have that conversation.
Because they'll be the next group, won't they?
I wouldn't like to hold my breath.
I can comment. I wouldn't hold my breath.
I think that it's not clear who will have the conversation next ecumenically, but and officially none of them would welcome this move. So it does put us in a, you know, in an interesting position in Australia, but around the world ecumenically with other churches, there are growing numbers of churches who recognise and who celebrate the contribution of LGBTIQ members in their own life, including marriage.
Sharon, talking generally about the church, I mean, people would have been aware that at the last census, the number of people identifying as church members is dropping in Australia, and we just need to go to many congregations and see that, you know, that's an ageing profile. It's a huge challenge, isn't it?
It's a massive challenge because I think for people in the church, they really, it's such a core part of their life, and they struggle to understand why people aren't interested in religion. So I think we have to be really honest about that. We have to think about how we share the story about what faith means to us, what belief means to us in new and creative ways that actually engage people where they're at. I think we also have to, as a church, just get used to this situation. I think this part of it is just accepting the world has changed. We're not going to be the centre of the universe, in this country at least, for a very long time. And there are other ways to go about being the church other than expecting to be at the centre. So, you know, we'll have to make some tough decisions about the numbers of congregations, the number of ministers we need and so on. But that's not a bad thing for an organisation either from time to time. And I think it helps us really focus on who we are, what we believe, why we believe it, and how we want to engage people about what we believe.
It's a very refreshing approach, Sharon. It's lovely to hear those. I have in my hand some media releases that came out from some of the various groups. The Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby came out supporting this recent move. And there's also a group called the Uniting Church LGBTIQ and Ally Network, which I'd never heard of before. So there's somebody called Weeks, Reverend Weeks.
Yes.
Who you
Peter,
may know.
I do know Peter. Peter Weeks.
So Peter is somebody who's a member of that network and has come out supporting this initiative as well. He now says that not only can he conduct a marriage, but he can also get married in the church himself, which for him gives him great pleasure.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the things, the lovely things to watch as this decision has unfolded over the last week, is really solid, absolutely committed members of the Uniting Church who now feel that this thing they've been waiting for can happen. Their deep joy that the thing that had been deprived them, that their siblings, their friends, their colleagues had, can happen
in their own church, in the space
they wanted to happen in.
Fantastic.
So they could have gone and got legally married, but many Uniting Church members have waited for this decision because they didn't want just to be legally married, they wanted to be married in the church.
So on a completely separate sort of area, there is this thing called the Ruddock Review into Religious Freedoms taking place. What's your view about that, and where does marriage equality fit into this space of religious freedoms?
The Uniting Church, again, has quite a different perspective to many other churches. I think we're not unduly worried about our religious freedoms. We already have seen that when gay marriage became legal, we weren't compelled to marry people. We had the time and space to come to our own position. We would take a view that really we don't need a review, and we certainly don't need legislation around the religious freedom. What we need in this country is a comprehensive Bill of Rights that would protect the rights of religious people alongside the rights of women, alongside the rights of people across, regardless of race, sexuality and so on, and that it's actually not helpful, I think, to have a review simply into religious freedom around LGBTI issues. We'd be much better, really, I think, having a comprehensive Bill of Rights nationally.
It's a recurring theme that we've heard in this very studio from a number of commentators who've said what we really need is a human rights charter or a Bill of Rights or whatever you wish to call it.
And that would be our position as a church.
So, Sharon... Oh, sorry, did you want to ask one more?
No,
Sharon, just as we wind up, is it fun being the moderator?
Yes, absolutely.
What's the best part of the job?
Apart from the cream cakes in country towns, which aren't good for my waistline, I really love meeting the diversity of Uniting Church people and seeing the just amazing unheralded things they do. You know, you go to churches on a weekday and they're running drop-in centres for older people, they're handing out food vouchers, they're running play groups, they're opening their building to carers of kids with mental illness, and that for me is really the great joy, just to see lots and lots of people making massive contributions to their community.
Fantastic.
Sharon, I have a message from one of our listeners, somebody called Mick, who wants to thank you for your efforts and your contributions, and says that his grandmother was one of the first women ordained in the Congregational Church, which eventually became part of the Uniting Church way back in the 1950s. So keep shining the light.
Thanks, Mick.
Reverend Sharon, thank you very much for coming into the studio this morning. Congratulations on this, what I think is a momentous way forward. Clearly, there's still more work to do. We want to deal with discrimination altogether, but this is a fantastic step forward.
Thanks very much.
Great to have you in the studio.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.